This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, let's talk about corruption and the cost of living.
That's right. So combating corruption gets a lot of attention through the high-profile cases we see in the media, but it generally plays second fiddle to the concerns and challenges relating to the cost of living. However, in a report issued yesterday by IDEAS, now that's the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs and the Coalition for Business Integrity, they focus on how corruption itself exerts pressure on prices and how it actually impacts our cost of living.
So for more on this report, we speak to Sri Munyati, who is the senior manager with the Public Finance Unit at IDEAS, which of course is known as the Institute for Democracy and Economic Affairs. Now, good morning, Uni. Now, it's noted in your report, when suppliers of goods and services are required to engage in corrupt practices, this could increase the cost of doing business. Now, what are the key implications of this?
Good morning, everyone. I think one of the key implications is the increase of the final cost of services and goods to customer, and of course, a result then increase the cost of living for everyone. A global report, for example, a study by a scholar in the US, show that the increase 1% of increase in the corruption, it will have an effect of 25% of increase in goods in the price of services. So that's quite significant increase to the price of goods. Of course, we have to note that the price, the final cost of everything will be, you know, will be affected by many other factors, but corruptions will have some implications of the final cost of the goods and services.
And aside from raising costs to consumers and Malaysians, how does corruption impact the competitive landscape and private sector development?
There are two things, I think. The first one, it will hinder or discourage innovations. So if the players are allowed to cut corners to, say, for example, secure certain permits and any licenses through paying bribes, then innovations will be hindered. The second thing is it will create a barriers to new players to enter the market. I think one of the respondents that we interviewed said that he didn't know when he started to enter the property development market in Malaysia that the challenges of corruptions is so big, so huge that he probably regrets of taking the step to invest here in the property development sector. So if such so the corruption will create a barrier to new players to enter the market. That of course at the end of the day then as consumers we will not be provided with more choices, right? Better choices.
I see. And of course, public procurement often comes under scrutiny when it comes to corrupt practices. And this is something we've been talking about for a long time. Public procurement reform really needs to be a priority. What are some of the suggestions that you've put forth in the report?
I think one of the things that the government have been talking in the past 3 years is to have procurement legislations. I think that's really one good step to start with. One of the most important element in procurement legislations is to add additional platform for scrutiny. We have AG now, we have MACC, of course, to provide oversight on procurement exercises. But I think there's another layer of scrutiny, what we call a review system, that will allow contractors and interesting stakeholders to actually challenge any award, for example, or any procurement process which we don't have as of now. So that's one of the reform that we can start with. Another thing, of course, having procurement legislations will provide us an opportunity to actually require disclosures. I think right now, yes, the circulars encourage government entities to disclose the contracts, but it's not legal requirement. So if we have procurement legislations, and in fact, it can also cover not only traditional government procurement, but big major infrastructure project, for example, that is through concessions or public-private partnership, or even those that are funded by loan, for example, from foreign government.
Yeah, you talked about, you mentioned the MACC. You've also talked about procurement laws. Uni, which one would be more effective between the two in terms of combating corruption? And if in fact it is indeed legislation, do you think that it's going to be possible in this current government?
That's difficult to say, but I think, well, I'm just going to take the, you know, the commitment that was made by the current government early when they come to power, that they will continue the NACP. And one of the commitment within the NACP is actually to have procurement legislation by the end of 2023. So that's a public commitment made. So I think, I hope that we can count on that public commitment in terms of whether MACC or procurement legislation. I think we really can't choose. Both are very important. Empowering the MACC, at the same time having procurement legislations, is both are important. But I think another important thing is to have this legislation, procurement legislation. The most important thing as well is to have stakeholder consultation in the process, right? Because we want these new legislations to be enforceable. It's not like something, a new rules that is not being followed by everyone, but something that is working for all stakeholders involved. So consultations is important.
Now, Uni, the other equation of corruption is, of course, the private sector. So how do we work with them in the fight against corruption?
One of the good things I think that came, like, I think last year, is to have this Section 17 of the MACC Act, which is the Corporate Liability Act, right? While it's, I guess it's a little bit scary for some private sectors because it will then implicate anyone under the, you know, command chain, that anyone you stop, if you stop involved in corrupt practices, then the managers and board of directors may be implicated in any case, right? So that's one of the good things. But I think so for us to encourage them to be part of the fight against corruptions, I think is to have this, to encourage them, well, either this private sector, so to encourage private sectors to have an adequate integrity and bribery management system. So that's one of the ways. So you put in place gift policy in your company, conflict of interest policy. So that's one of the things that can facilitate the fight against corruptions, I think.
So you've covered all the different stakeholders that need to be involved in fighting corruption, Uni. In the little bit of time that we have, are there any other key recommendations from the report that you'd want to point out that perhaps we haven't mentioned yet?
I think the overall creating the overall environment for competition and in innovation. That's really a huge word, but I think, for example, ensuring that the processes for licensing, having permit is made easier and clearer. One of the findings that we had from this paper is that information asymmetry is actually one of the cause for corruptions. When requirement, for example, for licensing and permit is not clear, or changes are not being updated regularly, then the private sectors, the risk of corruptions is even higher, because of course those in the authority can use their discretion to impose any condition to issue licensing. So one of the ways is to actually look into the procedures, ensure these procedures are clear and easy to follow, and update regularly. I think that's another problem, right? So you have every year you update, say for example, requirements for establishing a childhood education center, but the authorities did not update it properly or regularly. As such, then information asymmetry happened, then corruptions may likely to take place.
All right, thank you for your time. That was Sri Munyati, Senior Manager with the Public Finance Unit at IDEAS, giving us a summary of the recently released report. Now, I think what's really important is for us to really acknowledge that corruption affects you and me. It's not something that just happens in the dark corners of a room, because at the end of the day, it inflates prices, and higher prices have an impact on our day-to-day.
And that's why I really think this report is important, because it gives us that connection. You know, oftentimes we see these big corruption cases and the sums being talked about are so huge that you can't really imagine how it affects us. But the report really lays out step by step how this actually trickles down to us.
I think it's also important to realize the complicity that the public have in corruption.
Yeah, okay, for example,
no, for example, right? If you double park in front of the ATM machine because you just want to run in, right? And you believe that you can get away with it by just talking to the police and say, hey, kita settle. You know what I mean? It's us. We're part of the problem. When you roll down your window, you chuck out your McDonald's wrapper, right? We're part of the problem because we know that, you know, the authorities are there to be swayed, and they can be swayed. Not that they will be swayed, right? The other fact, that in terms of the competitive landscape, getting the private sector to play a role, okay, it's a little bit like trying to get away from the mob. It's like, you know, trying to not do business with Don Corleone, because he'll say either you're with us or you're without us, you're away from us, right? Well, you're forced to take your money abroad. So a lot of private sectors, right, they just don't play ball. They just put their money abroad. And that will come to the damage of the country.
I agree with you there, Chuang. And I want to really highlight one of the recommendations coming out from the report, which is the call for more transparency, whether it's through procurement legislation. And also, I think having a law that allows for the right to information or freedom of information law, I think these kinds of measures really help to increase the transparency and the ability of the public to ask for this information so we can hold government stakeholders accountable.
For sure. I think every government, you need that check and balance, whether it is parliament, special committees, or even the press. All that is very important in terms of clamping down on corruption. But up next, the KLCI opening, as well as Global Market Insights with Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.